Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Some people recall lines around the block when in 1976, the Los Angeles County Museum of Art opened an exhibition called Two Centuries of Black American Art. Curated by Fisk University professor and artist David Driscoll, it contained about 200 works by black artists, ranging from classic landscape paintings to modern art. The exhibition wasn't just a first of its kind. It was one that pushed against what the gatekeepers had decided was worthy of a show of that size. For example, when LACMA's board approved the show, two museum trustees resigned. Yet Two Centuries of Black American Art became an incredibly popular show, and it started to change perceptions of black art. The show also became a touchstone for artists themselves. And a new documentary, Black Art in the Absence of Light, shows the impact that landmark exhibition continues to have on generations of black artists, including Carrie James Marshall, Carrie Mae Weems, Richard Mayhew, Kara Walker, Kehinde Wiley, and Amy Sherrill. Joining me now is Thelma Golden, who is a consulting producer on the documentary. She, of course, is the director and chief curator of the Studio Museum in Harlem, which has played a significant role in nurturing black artists since its founding in 1968. Black Art in the Absence of Light is directed by Sam Pollard and premiered on HBO earlier this month. It is available now on demand and streaming on HBO Now. Thelma, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Allison. So good to be here.
So you were still a kid when this show went up. How did you first become aware of the exhibit, Two Centuries of Black American Art?
I first became aware of Two Centuries of Black American Art when I was a student in college studying art history. I had the occasion, the privilege, to intern at the Studio Museum in Harlem during my sophomore year. And it is then when I came across the catalog for the exhibition and began to know about the incredible contribution that the exhibition made. That would have been in the late 80s, so a decade after the exhibition was on view at LACMA and traveled the country.
Yeah, in the film, artist Sanford Biggs says, even though he was too young to see the exhibit, it was that catalog. He remembers the catalog. What was it about the way this exhibit was curated and about the catalog that had such a lasting impact that people still react to it and recall it 35 years later?
I think the reason it continues to have such an impact is because of the acknowledgement that at the time that David Driscoll curated that exhibition and it was presented in 1976 at LACMA, there really hadn't been an exhibition in a big legacy institution of that sort that told an art history from a place that acknowledged the full breadth and depth of black artists. His exhibition came after several exhibitions had been made in the late 60s and early 70s that were controversial. And they were controversial because of the sense of authorship. And what Driscoll did was he, with this exhibition, created a canon. He told a story that allowed us to understand the contributions of black artists. And the catalog, which has an amazing Aaron Douglas on the cover, really for many of us was a textbook. It was the history that was not yet taught. It was the art history that we needed to know to understand the evidence of this great history of visual and artistic production.
It's interesting because the exhibition was wide-ranging and it included black artists in the fine art tradition, painters like Joshua Johnson and Edward Bannister. Why was it important to him, to Mr. Driscoll, that they be included in the show?
Because I think what he intended in the exhibition was to really allow for a wide range of not only artistic production, but representation. What he really was showing was the wide range of what black artists made. And that's a conversation we're still having today, right? About what it is that we can determine when we start thinking about these categories. What also I think was important about the exhibition is while, you know, it was titled Two Centuries of Black American Art, what he really was talking about were the contribution of these individual artists into the greater art history. And that is shown by the wide range of artists that he represented, not just painters and sculptors, but he also included a range of work cross media. that allowed us, you know, for the first time in that exhibition to begin to think about the narrative created through these many different kinds of work. I know as a curator, that was important to me. It gave me a great sense of possibility of what exhibition making could do, not only for art history and changing art history, but for audiences as a way to introduce audiences to artists and their work.
My guest is Thelma Golden, consulting producer on the film Black Art in the Absence of Light. Of course, she's director and chief curator of the Studio Museum in Harlem. In the film, we learn about a sort of infamous at this point, exhibit at the Metropolitan Museum of Art called Harlem on My Mind from 1969, which was really pretty unfortunate, so much so that a recent Met exhibit included a mea culpa about it. What was so disappointing about that exhibit?
Mm-hmm. Well, there have been volumes written about Harlem on My Mind, but I think, you know, at core, the challenge to that exhibition was this sense of how it represented not just Black culture, but Black people. Mm-hmm. And it really was an exhibition that sort of galvanized the idea of what we now think of when we talk about equity and inclusion in institutions around whose voices get to tell the stories through art and through culture. It was an exhibition that also, in many ways, began to create the sense of what it meant for institutions to be responsible in their presentation of culture. And it's a conversation that we continue to have in the museum world. I think that, you know, Harlem on My Mind and the way in which we understand it now really form, you know, again, a place in which the history that we're living right now is still engaging with these issues, you know, so that we have these moments 50 years or more ago that we're still living through, working through, envisioning change about in the moment we're living today.
On the flip side, the film underlines how, for communities of Black artists through generations, how big a role the Studio Museum in Harlem has played. In the film, Kerry James Marshall calls it a crossroads. Jordan Castile's been on the show and has talked about how instrumental it's been in her work and her practice. Just objectively, what is unique that happens there for artists?
I feel grateful every day to the founders of the Studio Museum because in many ways their original idea to create a space that presented and preserved the work of Black artists, to do so with a commitment that is artist-centered, and to have that happen in Harlem, right, which really is what our name is, the Studio Museum in Harlem, remains our mission. And that mission is resonant because it's a mission that has allowed the museum through all these different moments in history where Black artists have been in the spotlight and some where they have not, where the Studio Museum has provided a home. It is a physical home, but it's also an intellectual home, a space that allows Black artists to be and envision in ways that are broad and capacious. And I'm very grateful for it. I am a curator and now a director of a museum because of the Studio Museum, the example it provided, the space it created for me. And I think that exists for artists and for our audiences. So, you know, it's an amazing moment to be able to think about the Studio Museum because we are closed now as we are mm-hmm. building a new building, you know, rising on our site on 125th Street. And in a few years, we'll be able to welcome audiences, artists, our collection, our amazing team back into a building designed by Sir David Adjaye. But at the core of that building will remain this original founding mission.
As I mentioned, you were a consulting producer on this film, Black Art in the Absence of Light. When you came on and you started having conversations, what were some of the things that you wanted to make sure were addressed in the film?
Well, when I was asked to be a part of this project by the executive producer, Henry Louis Gates Jr., Skip to most of us, when Skip asked me to be a part of this, you know, what seemed important to me as a curator and as a museum director and someone who has devoted my career to the presentation of works by Black artists was the opportunity to reach broad and new audiences. And this for me was most important. How to bring the experience of art and artists in this form to a wide audience. And the gift of this film really is in its direction. And that is because of the incomparable Sam Pollard, a amazing documentarian who is an incredible storyteller and a really interested and engaged director. And so what was important to me is what really Sam made happen, and that is to have this story told through the voices of artists. And that begins with David Driscoll, who, in addition to being an art historian and a curator, also throughout his life was a working artist.
My guest is Thelma Golden, consulting producer on the film Black Art in the Absence of Light and director and chief curator of the Studio Museum in Harlem. The film is available on HBO On Demand. It's very interesting. The film does not shy away from controversy and controversial artists. It talks a bit about Kara Walker's work and how the controversy around it for her portrayals of Black people in her work and the silhouette scenes and as well as the subtlety of The Marvelous Sugar Baby. A lot of people remember that huge installation at the Domino Sugar Factory in 2014. I want to play a clip from the film, and we can talk about it on the other side. This is Mary Schmidt Campbell, president of Spelman College and former curator of the Studio Museum in Harlem, describing the reactions to Walker's work.
The experience of white America and Black America is very different, because white America very often will look at this and find it incredibly entertaining. And Black America will look at it and almost cringe at the pain that's being depicted. And that's, in and of itself, very telling.
A lot of artists comment on her courage in her film. I'm going to tell a tale out of school. I tried really hard at a certain major news network where I was working to do a piece on Kara Walker and could not get it out of the gates for the life of me. Why is the controversy around her work so important?
Well, I prefer to think about it as the conversation around her work. And the reason it's important is because it gives us a space to engage with issues that are significant. But I think to talk about Kara's work as only about the controversy or conversation is to take away from a very essential fact. And that is the brilliance of the work.
The artistry.
The way in which the work exists with such a precise intellect and such a brilliant aesthetic, and the way in which Kara conceptually and through her engagement with content and history gives us a space to consider in ways that I think are profound. And so much of what I think as a curator is important about art is the way in which it allows us to consider the questions that we might have about ourselves, our world, and in the space of art, be able to imagine answers in complex ways. You know, I think, you know, one of the things about this film that's important to me is that it not only tells this story in a large way, but it also allows us to pay homage to two voices. David Driscoll's, of course, who we lost this spring, and also Maurice Berger, who is in this film, who's an important curator, art historian. And Maurice Berger is someone who I worked with around an exhibition I made in the 90s called Blackmail. And some of what was so important about that collaboration around the thinking that I did with so many scholars at that point, Maurice included, and Maurice, I have to say, authored a space in the exhibition which allowed audiences into this idea of how art can be the beginning of a way to engage and explore the world around them. And I think that, you know, when we talk about the conversation around Kara's work, that's what we are saying. We are saying that it is creating space in ways that are deeply important and very, very profound and incredibly powerful.
Throughout the film, we hear from so many artists, Faith Ringgold, Carrie James Marshall, Carrie Mae Weems, Kara Walker, Kehinde Wiley, Jordan Castile, and Amy Sherald. I do want to talk about the portraits of the Obamas because the film spends quite a bit of time on it. Of course, Kehinde painted the president sitting in this foreground of these vivid greens, and Amy Sherald painted the first lady with that beautiful, striking black and white dress, and they're stylistically very different and from other portraits of other presidents and first ladies. What is significant about these portraits from a historical point of view and from an artistic point of view?
I think what's important about the portraits from a historic point of view is that they portray two people who exist in our history in a singular way. And so therefore, the portraits really represent that. They represent in so many ways the feelings many people have and the fact of what it meant to have our first African-American president and first lady. And so the portraits really encapsulate, they really make us sort of think and understand that. And historically, that's what's important. You know, the way in which President Obama's portrait sits within that gallery of presidential portraits makes you see visually, right, the fact of history that we know. Artistically, they are important because they really do represent both of those artists in a way that not only allows us to understand their signature styles and their signature vocabularies, but the way in which they took this assignment, this historic assignment, and made it their own.
My guest is Thelma Golden. She is a consulting producer on the HBO documentary Black Art in the Absence of Light. She, of course, is director and chief curator of the Studio Museum in Harlem. There's a really particularly interesting, for me, it was particularly interesting part of the film about black art collectors. And we get a peek behind musician and producer Swizz Beatz, who's become a major collector. He calls it the Dean Collection, which is from his given name, Kasim Dean. It's 400 works, most of them by black artists, including, which I didn't know, this is a large collection of Gordon Parks photos. David Driskell had a large and significant private collection. Of course, Bernard Lumpkin does as well. How are black art collectors, how are they helping black artists? How are they helping all of us, white, black, whomever, in terms of recognizing and understanding more about black art? Or art by black artists,
perhaps,
I should say.
Yes. Perhaps one of the, you know, untold stories of the history of when we're thinking about art by black artists is the role of art collectors. Mm-hmm. Long before museums or other collectors or galleries had an interest in art by black artists across the last century and into this one, really so much of the most important historic work was done in stewarding these works were by black collectors. And I think the film gives an indication of that, of what it means when the works of these artists are stewarded by people who imagine that they are not owning them in a very specific way, but that they are stewarding them, collecting these works, keeping them to allow them to pass on into history, right? To pass on into institutions or to their own families, but that these works then are cared for and can live on to represent these artists and represent the culture writ large.
I want to play another clip from the film Black Art in the Absence of Light. This is artist Theaster Gates talking about the attention that black artists have been receiving in recent years.
And I think we're part of a continued renaissance. It's been happening. What I'm most excited about is, do we have the capacity to be great makers in the absence of light? And if blackness has something to do with the absence of light, does black art mean that sometimes I'm making when no one's looking? And for the most part, that has been the truth of our lives. Is there a light? Yes. But until we own the light, I'm not happy. Until we're in our own houses of exhibition, of discovery, of research, until we figured out a way to be masters of the world, then I'd rather work in darkness. I'd rather work in darkness because at least I know that I'm working. That I don't want to work only when the light comes on. And my fear is that we're being trained and conditioned to only make if there's a light. And that makes us codependent upon a thing that we don't control. Are you willing to make in the absence of light?
In the film, Carrie Mae Weems goes out to point that while there's more recognition and interest in art by black artists, it's been exhibitions, not necessarily acquisitions, We also learned in the film that just 1.2% of works in museum collections are by artists who are Black. Obviously, there have been enormous conversations about this in the past 12 months. Thelma, what is something that you'd like to see change right away?
Well, I so appreciated the Astor's comments, because what he really is speaking about is when we look historically over the last century into this one, there have been these episodic moments of interest. And what I think many of us want is to be able to be in a space of institution, organization, or even individual possibility that does not make what happens for artists or with artists dependent only on those systems outside of us, but mm-hmm. to create those systems ourselves. That was at the core of the founders of the Studio Museum in Harlem, but it also has informed over the last century so many of our other creative efforts. This is a conversation we're not only having in the visual art world, of course, this is a conversation we're having across our cultural sectors, right? Where we want mm-hmm. to be able to imagine that the culture can live and breathe and not only survive, but to really thrive and actualize into the power and genius that we know has always been at the core of the most innovative Black creativity.
The name of the documentary is Black Art in the Absence of Light. It is available on HBO On Demand. My guest has been Thelma Golden, the consulting producer on the film and director and chief curator of the Studio Museum in Harlem. Thelma, thanks for making so much time for us today.
Thank you so much for having me.